15,000 American children with psychiatric problems are locked up in juvenile detention centers because no mental health services are available, a U.S. congressional report found this week. Some of the detainees are as young as 7. 71 centers in 33 states said they were holding young people who have no charges against them because they have no place else to send them while they wait for treatment. Community clinics cannot meet the demand for mental health services, families cannot pay for care, and insurers often do not cover mental health problems. Too often, children are simply left to languish in juvenile detention centers which are ill-equipped to meet their needs while they wait for scarce mental health services, Senator Susan Collins told Reuters. Collins, a Republican of Maine, is one of the report's initiators, along with California Democrat Representative Henry Waxman. Dr. Stephen S. Sharfstein, president-elect of the American Psychiatric Association, said at this week's hearings on the report, quote, "We are in a much better position to diagnose and treat mental illness in children than we were just 15 years ago. Many kids who get in trouble should be in treatment. But because of the lack of money and the lack of services, they end up in the criminal justice system." More teens than ever are unemployed, according to a new report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The jobless rate for teenagers reached a new low in June, with 3 out of 5 teens without summer work. That's 60% of teenagers without a job, the worst teen unemployment rate since the data was first collected in 1949. And young people of color are hit hardest. 77% of black teens are out of work, and 68% of Latino youth. Deborah Cutler-Ortiz, director of the Family Income Division at the Children's Defense Fund, was critical of the data and the Bush administration. "The administration continues to tout an improved economy," Cutler-Ortiz said, "but the numbers are not there to support this notion. Not enough is being done to improve the economy and the conditions for workers, especially for our teens." In local news, poverty rates are way up in New York's public schools. The State Department of Education found this week that 82% of students at the city's schools and schools in other urban areas qualify for free or reduced-price lunch. The percentage of students identified as poor has risen more than 33% in the last decade. State officials told the New York Post this week that they think the trend toward poverty will continue. In related news, students may have to pay fees as high as $200 per course to attend summer school. "It's a domino effect," Marianne DeCostanza, vice president of the New York State PTA, told the Associated Press. "The schools can't afford to subsidize a summer school, and I feel many of our parents can't afford the tuition," DeCostanza said. "And who's going to suffer? The students. It's heartbreaking." In many cases, the summer school classes are needed in order for a student to move up to the next grade or to graduate. Now, national news. Starting September 1st, international students wanting to study in the United States will have to pay an extra $100 fee before applying for visas. That's on top of almost $200 in documentation and entry fees students already must pay. The new $100 is to cover the cost of the Student Exchange and Visitor Information System, a program of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. The computerized system holds information about students and scholars while they study in the United States, including their date of departure from the states and when their visas expire. Mexico native Ana Becerril views the fee as discriminatory. Becerril told the Michigan State University State News, quote, "It's unfair because we can be tracked all the time. I understand why it's this way, but it's not comfortable for us." This in international news, student protesters in Iran, arrested 5 years ago, should be freed. So said Human Rights Watch this week on the anniversary of the students' jailing. The human rights group said an unknown number of students remain in jail in Iran of the thousands arrested at protests at Tehran University. The 1999 demonstrations were sparked by the closing of a reformist newspaper. An initial peaceful student protest was met with raids from security forces and police, in which students were beaten and trapped in their dorm rooms. This in turn launched protests beyond the university, which lasted more than a week and included over 25,000 people, the largest political demonstration since Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Since 1999, the anniversary of the protests has been commemorated with speeches and peaceful demonstrations. But this year, permits for student events have been denied and Tehran University has been closed early. Human Rights Watch says that many of the imprisoned students have been tortured, barred from seeing attorneys, and have suffered permanent physical and psychological injuries. France will vigorously enforce its ban on headscarves in schools. The ban on headscarves has incensed many Muslim groups, which say that Muslim girls should be able to wear the hijab to school if they choose. But speaking this week on French radio, Education Minister François Fillon said that any girl wearing a headscarf to public school will be expelled. The ban, which became law in March, also says that students cannot wear Jewish skullcaps or Christian crucifixes to public schools. A similar ban on headscarves was recently upheld in England when a court supported a school's policy barring Shabina Begum, 15, from attending school while wearing a jilbab, a long gown that covers the body except the hands and face. The French national ban was recently given a legal boost when the European Court of Human Rights upheld a similar ban at an Istanbul university. And that's some of the latest in youth news from around the city and around the world. For Rise Up Radio, I'm Kat Aaron.